All right, I got that. All right, hey guys, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 34. We're calling it Legends of Youth and Rebels. We're going to talk about the Save Young Justice campaign that's going on right now for Netflix. We're going to review Star Wars Rebels from last week. There was no new episode this week, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it. And then we're also going to talk about last week's Legends of Tomorrow, because the new one will air the day that we record, the day we shoot.
Did you introduce everybody?
Or? No, not yet. Oh, okay. So I'm just letting it, I'm getting everything up front. Okay. And then we're also going to talk about the Captain America Civil War trailer that just dropped this afternoon. And to kick it off, we have with us Brian, me, we have Johnny, and then our special guest, David Griffin. The fan favorite, David Griffin.
The fan
favorite. What's going on,
Thanks
Dave?
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
But fan favorite, really, isn't it? Wow.
Anyway. All right. So, hey, Dave. So, welcome back to the show. We love it when you come on. We have lots of good conversations, so we are definitely happy to have you back.
Prepare for a two-hour show.
2 hours. Oh, yeah, always.
Do you have 2 hours, yeah. Dave?
Well, I'm just praying that my, I don't know if I have 2 hours, I'm just praying my internet holds up. So if I cut out, my internet's been on the fritz lately, so I'm hoping that everything just holds up.
What's going on out there then?
Yeah. You need to get the Google Fiber going on out in LA. You should start that, or in Burbank.
That's weird. I'm in the middle of Los Angeles and I still can't get an internet signal. It's horrible.
Yeah. It's because an earthquake's happening somewhere and the rock is holding the world together.
Nice. So I was just out in Salt Lake City for the last couple of days and they have Google Fiber out there.
Oh, okay.
And like everyone's like, oh, it's amazing. It's so fast. And I'm like, I have crappy Zizay Bell internet.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right. So let's get into it. The trailer. Dave, just kick us off. What'd you think?
I thought it was good. I love the tone of the trailer, except I guess – I don't know. It was weird because I didn't watch the trailer until this afternoon. I guess you guys were just saying you just watched it too. So I had a lot of tweets and people talking to me telling me that they had mixed feelings about it, which was interesting. I said, well, all the trailers have been fantastic. Marvel always does a good job with their trailers. Usually Marvel's trailers don't have a lot of controversy behind them, like, you know, like with Batman v Superman or Man of Steel. So when I watched it, I really enjoyed it. It's just I felt like the ending when Spidey showed up, it was a little bit out of – I don't know. It didn't fit the tone. It didn't match it. I mean, I'm happy to see Spidey. I'm excited for when they do the Spidey movie in the future, and I'm happy that he's going to be in the film. But I felt like the tone was kind of a darker tone for a Marvel trailer. And then when he showed up at the end, it just kind of seemed, I don't know, it felt a little bit off. But I'm happy to see him, and I think he looks good.
Yeah, did you think he maybe looked a little cartoony?
Like two CG.
Yeah. What do you think? Is that how you think they do his eyes? You think that's CG?
So yeah, the eyes are CG, just like they did with Deadpool.
Oh, they are. Okay.
So that way they'll be able to emote, which, you know, it's just like the comics and, right, and things like that, where he can do the rock raised eyebrow with the, you know, the left eye there.
I agree with David. It did seem a little shoehorned in at the end.
The whole "Hey Long Johns" or what? Yeah. Hey Underoos, like, you know, yeah, like they're in the middle of this like serious like standoff and
right.
I don't know if that's enough to cause a controversy.
I don't think it's controversial. Just it's that whole, oh, we had to put him in the trailer because everybody kept asking.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I wanted to ask your opinion from the trailer. Do you think this is going to be more along the lines of Batman v Superman now? Because it looks like that big scene at the end, it seems like they're still in that same, I don't know, wherever they're fighting on an airport or wherever they are. And you see Spidey, you know, put the web over Captain America. Then that seems like, you think that's going to be the turning point? You think it's going to be like a Batman v Superman where they fight in the first half, maybe the first three quarters, and then the last third of the film is going to be something to do with another villain that's emerging?
I was thinking that scene was probably somewhere in the middle of the movie, because know Crossbones is going to have like a meatier role than I think what was originally thought. So yeah, I don't know. Like, honestly, I hope that's not the end.
Okay. I think that'll be the last fight.
You think that'll be the last
fight? Yeah, I think that'll be the last fight of the movie. And then there'll be there is with most Marvel movies where there's the epilogue, I guess you would say, before the credits. Like the credit scenes, I don't count as epilogues. Those are just little clips. Right. But like, there's always that thing, like, you know, at the end of Avengers, the fight's over. You know, Nick Fury's talking to the council while they're showing what the Avengers are doing.
Right.
And I think that's what's going to happen.
So you think that. Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see. Like, they've done a really good job of just, like, showing kind of action pieces. in the trailers and not really like getting too much into the story.
Well, and I mean, they still didn't show Giant Man.
Well, I don't think we'll see Giant Man until the actual
I think
movie.
That's what's going to happen, like what we've seen with Spider-Man. Yeah. He snatches the shield, and then, you know, Cap turns to Ant-Man and says, show him what we got. And, you know, that's when Giant Man
will... Smash.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be that kind of smash scene where he's going to be like, you know, they've got this guy, let's show him what we got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. You know, to your point, though, David, is it feeling a little Batman v Superman? I don't think so, because I haven't, like, cringed at anything they've shown in the Civil War trailers, where there's a lot of cringeworthy stuff in the DC trailer there.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I mean, even with this trailer, I think it's the only time we've actually had any kind of, like you guys said, like, controversy. No, I don't think so. I mean, I think the Spider-Man thing at the end might have been a little bit off, but it was still cool to see Spider-Man. I'm happy that we're getting them. And overall, I think they do a good job with their trailers. Marvel's just, they're smart. We know they're going to be great. Even the trailers.
All right. Hey, sorry to interrupt, David, there. We had a technical glitch. So, Dave, you were talking about the trailer and you know, kind of not being as controversial as the Batman v Superman and things like that. So go.
Yeah, because like the only thing I've seen on, I don't think I've seen online, guys, is just about, you know, the Spider-Man thing. And I think that's such a small part of the trailer, and it doesn't, you know, it's not going to take away from the movie. I think people are excited about it. I mean, everybody's still talking about it. I mean, there's a lot of somebody put up a photo on Twitter of Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck with like a Spidey Who. I don't know if that was actually a real photo that they actually took or somebody photoshopped it in or something like that. But you know, I get a little rivalry going between Batman v Superman and Spidey, even though they're coming out at very different times. It's almost, you know, over a month apart.
Right.
So, no, I was excited to see this. I'm excited for the film, and yeah, I can't wait.
So, one of the things is I was watching the Emergency Awesome YouTube channel, and Charlie had said that that scene where Cap is in the like kind of the apartment with the wallpaper, like he had said it was Aunt May's apartment, and Johnny was thinking it was
Hawkeye's house.
Yeah, Hawkeye's house.
Yeah,
and you know, did you have an opinion about that, about where they might be?
Oh, I honestly didn't notice that. I mean, I would assume it'd be Hawkeye since I was already established. You know, that was a pretty prominent part of Age of Ultron. So if I take a guess, I would assume it's Hawkeye's house.
Because the dialogue that he says there is, you know, we don't have to fight, and then it cuts into this really awkward like Tony.
Yeah.
Where you could tell it's two different lines that they kind of mashed together there. So that's kind of what led me to believe, you know, that it might have been Spider-Man's house, and he was talking to Peter, because you know, we heard he's going to start with one team and finish with a different team, and they might not go the same way as the Civil War comic.
Right. They could flip it where he's with Cap, and then he decides that Iron Man's...
Yeah. We should do a Civil War like comic breakdown before the movie.
That would be wild. Yeah.
So
I'd have to go back and read it.
I just reread it not too long ago. So anyway. yeah, no, all in all, like, it was great. We got to see way more Black Panther than we've seen.
Yeah.
Watching him run Bucky down on the motorcycle was pretty freaking cool and very cat-like.
Yeah.
Which was great. You know, I'm looking forward to him watching watching Ant-Man ride on one of Hawkeye's arrows was awesome. Straight out of the comics.
That's straight out of the comic, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's straight out of Avengers.
I don't know. As we watched it, I told Johnny, this is probably the last thing I'm going to watch, and now I'm not going to read anything else about the movie or check out any more of the trailers or spots. What do you think about that, David? Are you going to keep consuming the content that they're putting out there for us?
Well, I mean, the tough part is, like, you know, for what I do for a living, I have to consume everything, you know, whether I want to or not. But I think Marvel hasn't revealed too much. I feel like we've seen a lot of the same scenes over and over again, just maybe different viewpoints. So I don't think they've spoiled too much for us. You know, I mean, even people were complaining about the Batman v Superman trailer spoiling a lot. I still don't think that spoiled. I still think there's a lot more that we haven't seen yet. So no, I trust Marvel. I don't mind watching some TV spots and things like that. I don't think it'll spoil too much.
Do you trust Marvel more than DC at this point?
Well, I mean, their track record speaks for themselves, but I know I'm more excited about seeing Batman v Superman than I know you two guys are. I already have my tickets. I bought them over a week ago. I'm going opening night.
Do you know how sad
I'm
that
actually
makes
really
me?
Excited. I know, but I'm excited. I'm looking forward. I like Man of Steel. That Man of Steel was entertaining. So, right, I know I might be in the minority there, but
so we're going to have to say goodbye to David.
Thanks for having me.
See, I didn't have a problem with the Man of Steel. Like, there's there's things in the Man of Steel I have problems with, but the movie on a whole was a decent Superman movie. It's just like Superman Returns. There's things in Superman Returns that I'm like, if you took that out, this movie probably would have been better.
See, I thought Man of Steel was a great Dr. Manhattan movie. Or, yeah, Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen.
Yeah?
Like, because in Watchmen, everyone was Batman. And in Superman, he got Dr. Manhattan right.
Yeah.
You know, he was very... and David, like, feel free to chime in. But I felt like he was very, like, disengaged from humanity when... That's kind of one of Superman's defining traits.
Is his humanity?
Yeah. Is his adopted
humanity. Well, I think, but he was still, I think this is a different take on him because, you know, you see in the trailer, which I know some people have trouble with, one of the first trailers for Batman v Superman, and you see his mom talking about, you know, Clark, you don't owe humanity anything. And if you think about it, I know that's not traditionally how we view the Kents, but she kind of has a point. Like, you know, he should, as a human being, as we all want to, you should just be able to live your life. But I think that typically Superman doesn't – I think he'll grow into it. I think we're going to see him grow into that over the course of the next few movies. But right now, he's just not there yet.
Yeah. I mean, did he even at any point in The Man of Steel call himself Superman? I don't think anybody called him Superman until the very end of the movie.
Remember there was that scene – Yeah, there was that scene when Lois and them were having that conversation, and you know, it looks like an S, and she's like, "Hey, how about soup?" And then it cuts off,
Like her conversation out or whatever, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, right. You know, at this point in, you know, Superman versus Batman, he's going to become Superman.
Yeah,
he's going to become the character that is Superman. But it's one of those things where, you know, the Batman stuff just is coming off as, you know, what humanity would actually be angry toward this character, you know. I don't know. The city got destroyed.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things where it's like how many people died and how many people would really hate Superman.
Yeah.
You know.
So David, do you read Invincible?
I have. I'm not caught up, but I had the first like three or four really big trades, like the big hardcover trades. Yeah, it's good. Oh, yeah. I like
it. He's a good way through it, then.
There's a fight scene where, well, when Invincible and his dad have their big fight, and you know it's over 10 years old, so
right.
I'm not spoiling anything. Mm-hmm. They have their fight, but then later on down the road, Invincible gets a villain added to his rogues gallery of a character who was trying to get vengeance for his sister who died in that battle. So I would hope that DC has the foresight to do that, and maybe that's what, you know, Bruce Wayne's problem is.
Well, my thing is if it was me doing this movie, Lex would be, that would be how he would be. He would be the one that would be like, my family member died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things where that would make more sense for Lex to be the way he is.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, guys, I think that, I think that's one reason why Bruce is upset. I mean, we do see him in the trailer watching the Zod and Superman fight from Man of Steel, and we see him react. He looks angry. He's, like, you know, hugging that little girl. So, and then Lex, I'm curious to see what the Lex, because Lex, we know, is Lex Luthor's, he's junior. He's Lex Luthor's senior son. So I'm curious, is Lex still alive in this world? You know, I don't know if he's alive or dead, you know. So I'm curious to see more about that, too.
So Jesse Eisenberg is not, like, Lex Luthor. He's Luthor's son. So he's not Lionel Luthor's son.
No, he's Lex Luthor's son, I believe.
So he's Alexander Luthor Jr.
Okay. He's, exactly. I think he's a junior. Yeah, he's a junior. Yeah.
That would kind of make more sense. Lex died.
I mean, that's a completely different character. And
yeah.
Interesting.
I'll see it the first day it comes out probably and, you know, see where it goes.
I mean, we'll see it because we're going to review it. But
well, if you guys need a point of view that's not hating on it, then you can invite me back.
Well, so I'm not going into the movie thinking I'm going to hate it. I'm just going into it with
really low expectations. You're going to go in there angry and upset.
Yeah.
You're going into it with reservations.
Yeah, reservations.
Yeah.
But, all right. That's enough about that. All right, so let's talk about Young Justice, sticking with the DC property that we can all be in love with.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I love Young Justice. It was a great show.
So there's a current thing going on. There's a bunch of different hashtags. I think one of the bigger ones is Save Young Justice. And it's encouraging people to binge it on Netflix and then to, you know, call into Netflix and request it and tweet about it so that Netflix could possibly do a third season.
Is that their one? Are they wanting a written campaign then?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm just watching it.
And the they want both because right. Netflix, you know, will base on how many views it has and things okay. like that, and decide if they're going to save it.
Yeah, I know Netflix is interested. I think they said they are considering it. That would be awesome. I know, Brian, you and I both wish they would do some more, you know, Avatar: The Last Airbender, Legend of Korra on yeah. there as well. So I know that's Weissman has been down for it, you know. I think he's one of the writers. He actually did Gargoyles and Rebels. So, I mean, I know yeah. a lot of the creators are behind it. They want to see more of this.
Yeah, and I mean, Danica McKellar and, you know, Jesse McCartney and some of the other voice actors have Carrie Payton, or Corey Payton, however you say it.
Carrie.
They've all been, you know, really active on their social networks promoting, wanting to do this again.
I would definitely watch it. I know that for sure.
Yeah, because I mean, it's kind of sad. There's really not that many DC animated programs out there. I mean, the ones that do come around are gone so quick. Like Green Lantern, the animated series was fantastic, but it yeah. left too soon, you know. And then now we have this new Justice League series coming out. But you know, I think we talked about the poster at one point, Brian. And it looks a little kiddie, like a little too. It doesn't look like it has that balance. Like Star Wars Rebels has a good balance. Avatar: The Last Airbender, Legend of Korra has a nice balance. You know, appropriate for kids. But also adults can enjoy it too. The new Justice League cartoon, just from the poster, I can't judge it on anything else, looks a little too kiddie, like it's just marketed just for kids.
Well, it's funny because when you look at Teen Titans Go,
yeah,
they took the Teen Titans, which was a really cool cartoon, and then replaced it with a less, I guess, sophisticated art style, and then really just juvenile
humor. Kind of a cheaper art style.
Yeah. So, you know, when you see that about the Justice League, I wholeheartedly agree, and I think it's going to be more on the lines of Teen Titans Go rather than Young Justice
the art
or Justice
looks
League Unlimited.
Like the DC superhero girls thing.
Yeah, the thing with the three of them, with Batgirl, Wonder Girl, and Supergirl.
Yeah, it looks similar to that art style.
Yeah, it's just weird that we don't have more really successful animated, like, comic book shows. I mean, I know there's The Amazing Spider-Man and there's a new Justice League series, but you think, like, I don't feel like they're as big or as talked about as, I know Star Wars has maybe an unfair advantage because it's Star Wars, but, like, Star Wars Rebels or Clone Wars seem to have, like, really big cult following. Some of these, outside of Young Justice, some of these newer shows that are out, like, I don't really hear people, like, I watched Guardians of the Galaxy on Disney XD, and that was just okay. It wasn't very good. And then even Amazing Spider-Man, I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. There's not like there's no buzz behind it.
I think with Amazing, it's because it's in its third year.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of third or fourth year at this point. But yeah. And it's kind of just either you're watching it or you're not. And mm-hmm. it's gotten to the point where it's got its own mythology that's so big that you're not going to just hop right in.
But they try to because they do the, like this year's the Sinister Six. Right. So it's like you're trying to get people to watch it and that. But it's one of those things where people are probably thinking, you know, I can't come into this. But like, it's kind of like Young Justice was. That first year, you wouldn't have been able to jump in. But if you started watching on the second year, you would have been able to get into the story right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Warner Brothers doesn't back their stuff real well.
No, I mean, they never have.
Yeah. I mean, Justice League Unlimited, Green Lantern, Young Justice, mm-hmm. Teen Titans.
Yeah.
And they always take those long breaks out of nowhere. You know, they just go just like be off the air for a month. But there's no, like, you know, all right, let's say you're watching, I don't know, like Arrow or Flash, right? And you're on the CW. Let's say they're going to take a break. Like right now, Sweeps is going on in Hollywood, which is stupid because it's like from the 50s or whatever. But so they took a really long break, right? But they'll say like, hey, we're going to be back on March 22nd or 23rd. They announce it. But when an animated program goes off the air, you have no idea. It's just crazy how they do that. You have no idea when it's going to come back.
Unless you guys said talked a DVR. About that. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah
you
I mean,
guys talked about
Turtles
it on
is a
on
good,
the show.
Turtles is a good example.
Yeah, I never know when that's going to be on.
Yeah, and it's like literally it's in my DVR, so it starts recording, and I'm like, oh, hey, a new Turtles episode.
But all right, so the verdict, do we want another season of...
I want two more seasons.
Two more.
You know what? Because... I'm going to up you, Johnny. I'm going to say I want three more seasons.
Yeah? What's your idea, though? Because like the third season would be Darkseid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fourth season would be Legion of Superheroes. And then what do you do for a fifth season?
Batman v. Superman.
Oh, there you go.
We kind of already had that at the end of the first season. Team Cap and Team... You know, because at the end of the first season, it was the team versus the Justice League with the Starro-Tech. Right. And you got to see Robin take on Batman and Superboy take on Superman, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where you would really go with a fifth season, but I'm like, you know, fourth season would be Legion of Superheroes and introduce Supergirl.
Yeah.
Because she could be in the future with the Legion.
Yeah, she could have just gone off right. already. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just greedy.
Sorry, David.
Yeah, well, no, sorry. I was just saying, I'm just greedy. I just want more and more. I like Johnny's plan. It's a good plan.
I'd like it if they keep saying
they should hire me.
If they took the approach they've taken with like the Dragon, How to Train Your Dragon,
yeah.
or the Turbo Fast, maybe do like 10 episode blocks a couple times a year would be right. great.
Yeah, well, if Netflix is going to do it, it's only going to be probably 13 episode anyways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you do a 13 episode compact story mm-hmm. with Darkseid and, you know, the new gods and all that, and then leave it with the cliffhanger where the team gets trapped in the future.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. But not all of them.
No, no. Certain ones. Because I think, like, Impulse would be cool because Impulse would meet Excess, who's his cousin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be pretty cool.
I said, if anybody wants to hire me, you know.
Well, I'm out here next to you know, Warner Brothers and Disney, so I'll make sure I just send me your resume. I'll make sure I give it to somebody.
I told Johnny just to start a Tumblr page and start writing stuff, like writing stories, because that seems to be the best way to get into comics anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
That's pretty crazy.
So, all right, so before we close out on Young Justice, just real quick, guys, what are some of your favorite just storylines? Not necessarily episodes, but... or if it's an episode, that's
I was
going
to say, is it more for me? It was like characters that showed up.
But because I know I definitely have some favorite parts of the of the series.
So what, like, what's yours?
So in the first season, the when Dick goes back to Haley's circus, the dangers, and they're dealing with Parasite. That was probably my favorite episode of the entire first season. And then probably Satisfaction when Roy wakes up and he gets the arm from Luther was just fantastic storytelling. And then just the last few episodes with everything from Miss Martian kind of putting Aqualad's mind back together through the betrayal of his dad and things right. like that. So, because it's very well documented that Nightwing's my favorite character of all time, but Aqualad in this show was hands down the best character.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool that the guy who played the voice of Aqualad is also Cyborg on Teen Titans.
Yeah,
that's another one that I would have liked to shown up as like some of the Teen Titans characters coming onto the show. Because I mean, you know, they had some of the Super Friends type characters, which is where, you know, like that's ones
the
that I like.
Was great.
Forever People.
They had Static. Yeah. Yeah, they the Forever People.
Yeah, I mean, Icon was like one of those ones where I was like, when he showed up in the first season, I was like, oh my god, they got a milestone character.
And they made him part of the Justice League, which was great. And they introduced Rocket, and then she became a member of the Justice League, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree, though. I think for me, like the Aqualad stuff, like Johnny was saying, I like the when they go to Atlantis, you know, and he has to kind of come home and deal with all that. I think the girl that he was interested in is now dating another guy or something like that, and he had to deal with that because he left. Yeah, exactly. I like the Aqualad stuff a lot.
With Tempest.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Aqualad's fun.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. Well, and it was cool because he was the original character. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't anything like the Aqualad from the comic books.
Right.
Who shows up?
Yeah, as Tempest.
Yeah.
Like, as who he became.
Right,
so.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things where he was cool because it wasn't a character we knew. And the same thing with Artemis.
Yeah.
Artemis was different than, you know, the character that they used in the Young Justice book.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that, so it was just fun because of all the characters that showed up.
And I think the thing they did best was they made Sportsmaster into a badass.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was cool. See, now, and now you guys are talking about it right now, I want to go watch it again. I haven't seen it since it's been on TV, so it's been forever. Season 2 is available now on Netflix, right? So I need to go back and watch it.
Season 1 and Season 2 are both available.
All right, I'm going to go back and watch it.
I actually bought them on iTunes as they came out. So it's like, I know I should watch it on Netflix, but at the same time, you know.
I think I own it, but I've just, Netflix is so much easier that I've watched, I think I'm halfway through the second season now.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because
I'm doing my part.
I was traveling the last couple of days, so like I loaded a bunch of episodes up on my iPad, and that's part of what I watched. I told you I rewatched The Hateful Eight. But yeah.
Be a citizen. Do your part.
Do your duty. Right. So now we're going to talk about Rebels, but before we do that, David had a jet. He had some things to do, and you know, I'm not really on top of my game tonight with the tech, which I apologize for to David greatly and to you, Johnny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and I know he wanted to sit around and talk about this with us, but you know, honestly, he talks about Rebels once a week, every week on Collider anyway.
He had good rub elbows with celebrities and stuff like that.
Poison Dandy.
That's what all those Hollywood people do out there. They just rub elbows with each other.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about Star Wars Rebels now.
And you're all up to date, right?
You saw this past.
Yeah, this episode that you want to talk about.
And there was no new episode this week as of recording. So this was episode 16, The Shroud of Darkness. And this, we finally got our first bit of payoff for that big season 2B trailer that we got at the beginning.
Yeah, the stuff that you were like, where's this at? Why hasn't this happened yet?
Well, it was more like, if this is all we get, this trailer, fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy with this. But yeah, so what did you think of the episode?
I mean, it was a really good episode. It had a cool opening with them fighting the brother and sister.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool just to open up like that.
Yeah, just like in mid battle.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
So that was fun. Them going back to Lothal and going to the temple.
Yep.
Was fun. Seeing Anakin.
Yeah, and we talked about his costume.
Yeah.
Or his uniform.
Yeah.
Which it had that great just Jedi insignia.
Well, right. You know? It's the whole thing where, I mean, like I joke around with you, they're going to make an action figure of that.
That is a toy.
Yeah, obviously, you know, talking about these cartoons, talking about Young Justice before this. And that, you know, Young Justice, part of the reason why it was canceled is because the toys didn't do too well.
Well, they were crap toys.
They were being done by Mattel, and Mattel doesn't have a great track record with a lot of toy lines.
Yeah.
You know, they do some toy lines really well, like the Masters of the Universe stuff and that.
They do, like, Barbie really well.
I mean, yeah, you know, Barbie's been their main sailing tent pole forever.
But,
so.
I mean, they were kind of like miniature Barbies. Like, if you think about it, the way their articulation was and everything.
Well, they were like the Polly Pocket type things.
Yeah.
Is what they were.
They were a little, like, more substantial than Polly Pocket, but yeah, you're right.
The larger ones that they did, the 6-inch ones, were nice. Okay. They had, like, you know, movement of the elbows and the arms and that.
The only time I've ever seen the 6-inch figures was at your house. I never once saw one in the wild.
Right, yeah.
So.
And I go into the wild all the time.
True. All right, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Star Wars.
Well, yeah, and Star Wars, I mean, we'll see action figures of that character and probably Yoda.
I wonder if they'll do like the flat face Yoda, like the art looked, or if it'll be more like the traditional Yoda we're used to. So
I mean, it'll look a little different because they're trying to make the look a little different on the show. I think they'll do a 2-pack with Anakin and Yoda.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'd buy it. So, all right. So Rebels, you know, a couple of just really big, like, tentpole moments.
Yeah.
I think the number one is we learned the identity of the Grand Inquisitor.
Yeah, which finally. I didn't see coming, so, you know.
And, you know, Dave Filoni, executive producer, like, had said, you know, we've met him before.
Right.
We just didn't know it. And, you know, he was one of the one of the
Temple Guards
at Ahsoka's trial.
Okay.
So, You know, that's where he came from, and
which,
you know,
obviously we would have never known him before.
And you know, nobody ever guessed. And it wasn't until he spoke that I knew. Because I just recognized the voice. You know, and I didn't look anything up, I didn't read any spoilers. I was like, oh, it's the Grand Inquisitor. Especially when he put the two yellow lightsabers together. And the way he came at him, it was just a very familiar stance. And the animation. And, you know, the animators did a great job because he had the same gait and, like, the way he walked and the way he carried himself. It was all very regal. So it was cool. And I hope we get to see him again.
Yeah, maybe like a flashback type thing.
Well, I mean, you know, flashback or, you know, like the way this was is, you know, basically they were Yoda's security system.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously they were force constructs and things like that. But coming out of that, we got Kanan really learning a lesson that, you know, Anakin never learned, that Luke has yet to learn, that a lot of the Jedi that we've met seem to struggle with.
Another Disney property, but let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he did.
Well, it was the thing that Yoda was teaching Luke on Dagobah.
Yeah.
Just let everything go. You know, yes, you care about these people. Yes, you care about what's going on, but you have to let it happen. Let the force flow is pretty much what it is.
Trust in the force.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's what, I mean, that's what the Inquisitor was telling, or, you know, the Jedi guard was telling Kanan, is that you just have to let the force happen.
Right. And when he finally does agree to that, you know, you think, oh, this is it for Kanan, at least in the confines of this training.
Right.
And no, he's knighted.
Yeah.
And so he's like, rise as a member of the Jedi Knight.
Right.
You know, and it was like, nice. And like, so I think we're going to see a different Kanan from here on forward. A little more confident. You know, I hope he doesn't, and I'm sure he will, because it seems like most Jedi fall into this, just the hubris. Like, we watched the Darth Maul Apprentice thing.
Yeah.
Which, it's a fan film, it's on YouTube, it's 17 minutes, totally worth your time to watch. Do you agree?
Yeah.
And you know, we see, what, four, five Jedi.
Yeah, there's like five, six Jedi.
Coming across Darth Maul. Right. Oh, yeah, I forgot the guy. They got the dude with the man bun.
Yeah.
And they meet Darth Maul, and, you know, the Padawan is like, hey, let's go tell the Jedi Council. And the rest of it are like, nah, we can take care of this.
Even one of the Jedi I said was from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
He was like, we should go back and warn the Jedi Council. Oh, that's right.
He said that too.
And the Obi-Wan-looking Jedi is like, no, we got this.
We're okay.
Yeah.
We can handle this. We don't need to call the Jedi Council.
And then the Mortal Kombat begins.
And of course they all die. And it's just kind of indicative of why the Jedi were wiped out after a couple thousand years.
I don't
years.
See Kanan going that way, though.
I hope
Kanan
not.
Kanan has enough experience of being, you know, a pirate and all that stuff.
Here's something I found interesting, though, is when he knighted him, he called him Kanan Jarrus.
Yeah.
And not Caleb Dunn.
Right.
You know, or however he says
call him at one point in the episode, doesn't he?
No.
No? Okay.
He called him Caleb, I think, in the first season when they went to find what's her name? Anara. Barriss. Barriss is
Luminara.
Thank you. Anara.
Let's go down the list of Jedi females.
Anyway, and I think he did refer to him as Caleb there, if I remember correctly, but I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, that was really cool to see. And, you know, I do hope you're right. I hope the things he's learned being on the run since he was, 12 years old will teach him. And, you know, that's one thing where I think he'll be a better teacher for Ezra, because he knows what it's like to be on your own and to survive. But that being said, Yoda and Ezra have a great little confab, you know, about kind of what's happening, what he's learned, what he's learning, you know.
Frank Oz back.
Yeah, great. You know, James Earl Jones was back as Vader in the episode. But, you know, and he sends him to
Melkor.
Melkor, thank you.
Well, he tells him to find Melkor. And Ezra, of course, thinks it's somebody.
Yeah.
And when he tells Ahsoka has a look on her face like she knows what Melkor is.
Yeah. Cause
so I'm curious to see.
Been there?
I don't know.
So, like, we don't know what that force planet was that they were on.
There could be a whole show with just what happened to Ahsoka between the time she left the Jedi Order up until the time that she became Fulcrum.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally could do that as a comic book series.
you know, just so, shorts, yeah. You know, like do a series of shorts. But anyway, so I see this and like just knowing what I like, just my own interpretation of things. Like I blame Yoda for a lot of the things that went wrong in the universe, because he very easily could have taken Anakin from Obi-Wan. He saw that there was this veil falling over the Force and you know, recognized it came from Anakin. Like, came from the
Force. He was more focused on what was going wrong and not paying attention to
that's what I think.
What the factors were.
Yeah. And I think he could have prevented a lot of it.
Right.
And instead, he relied on the rest of the Jedi Council, who had been, you know, in Anakin's terms, corrupted by the power and by war.
Right.
So,
the whole thing is there has to be a balance
mm-hmm.
between the dark and the light. And the balance is never there when there's as many Jedi running around as there were, because there should be two Sith and two Jedi.
Yeah.
And right now there are, you know, two Sith and two Jedi, because Kanan and Ezra are the Jedi.
Right.
Because Luke obviously is out on Tatooine somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, going to, to get some vaporizers or moisturizers or whatever. And I mean, you know, it's one of those things power where it's the balance, the Force is there.
Right.
So, but
at the moment,
be upset at any point.
And then, so the balance is there, but then you have these other Force-sensitive beings. You have the Inquisitors. You have whatever Ahsoka is.
Right.
You know, you have Obi-Wan and Yoda off in seclusion, right. Not really, you know, they're communing with the Force and they're being part of the living Force, but they're not.
Yeah, Yoda's powers are growing exponentially to the point that he's able to talk to Ezra.
Yeah.
He's able to talk to Kanan and Ahsoka.
Yeah.
I mean, he's able to, you know, present himself in a form at this point to them.
Yeah.
Instead of just a voice.
Yeah. I'm concerned like Yoda's making similar mistakes, you know, with Ezra, because I firmly believe Ezra is either Rey's parentage or Snoke or both.
Do you think they'll tie that in? I mean,
you know, they made such a big deal about the expanding universe kind of going away.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And this would be their chance to say, hey, you know, we started this property. We've already tied it into the original trilogy. Let's take it one step further. I could see them doing that.
Yeah, in a way, but in a way, I don't think they will.
Now, do I think they will? Probably not. No. And it's more me just liking to just annoy all my friends and family with letting them say, hey.
Every time something comes up, you're like, Ezra.
So it Ezra doesn't even matter if it's Star Wars or not. It's Ezra Bridger right now. So
Ezra Bridger's the reason why Superman and Batman are fighting.
Yep.
Ezra Bridger's the reason why Iron Man is telling everybody that you have to register.
Yep. He's for global warming. Yeah. He's why Donald Trump's doing what he's doing and Bernie Sanders is doing what he's doing. It's all Ezra Bridger's fault. So.
Damn you, Ezra Bridger.
Damn you, Ezra Bridger. Anyway.
I'll be happy when Obi-Wan kills you, Ezra Bridger.
Well, no, that's how he'll lose his ear and get the little like gash and, you know.
Oh, Obi-Wan and him will fight on Tatooine because they'll go to assassinate Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
So. Anyway.
Once again, I've written an episode of something.
There you go. Start your Tumblr now. So it was great. And then another great little Yoda moment where he was in the temple. His projection was in the temple. And he waved bye to Ahsoka and she waved back. And it was like, you got the impression that they've been in contact.
Like she might have been to Dagobah at some point.
Maybe not to Dagobah, but they've definitely like, you know,
like he's talking
like as David said, like the Jedi Skype, you know, they've communed. If you will.
If anything, I think Ahsoka may have had contact with Obi-Wan at this point. Like, she's been to Tatooine.
You think?
I think so.
Do you think she knows about Luke?
I think that she knows something, but she doesn't know.
She doesn't know it's Luke?
She can sense it in the Force.
So this leads into...
She still has contact with the Force.
Well, I mean, yeah.
She's
not a
Jedi at all.
She's like the... She's the good version of the Inquisitor.
Yeah, she's an Inquisitor, too.
But
damn it, she's an Inquisitor, and she's the spy.
Maybe, so... But she had my favorite part of the episode... when her vision of Anakin.
Yeah.
And, you know, she had a moment with the holocron version of Anakin at the beginning.
And she suspected that Vader is Anakin.
And you find out that post leaving the Jedi, and pre Anakin becoming Vader, they had some interaction.
Yeah, because she tells Ezra that I seen him before he went to rescue Chancellor Palpatine.
Right before.
So it's like right before Revenge of the Sith started.
So
she was on Coruscant.
Yeah.
At some point, and you know, they probably had some kind of confrontation.
I think they had a fight.
Well, which would make sense. Cool idea, because it would push the idea of why he was getting darker as the movie was going along, and it would tie into that story more, which is what Dave and his, you know, Dave Filoni and his crew are good for doing, is tying this stuff together.
Yeah, I mean, they take those like little bits of ambiguity and like they kind of fill in the cracks.
And I'm sure that would be something that they'll probably do in a flashback episode at some point.
But
it'll be when they kill her, when her and Vader have her confrontation.
Yeah, which we know they're going to fight from the preview.
I really just think that he's going to kill her at the end of the
season. She has to die at some point.
Yeah.
She just, like, unless they have plans for her where she'll be very old.
Well, it'll be in one later. It'll be the push for Ezra to start toward the dark side.
Maybe.
So. As if she is killed in front of him. Yeah.
Or if she's killed like brutally in front of him, for sure. But you know, I love
not that
just,
I want them to kill that character.
I do not want them to kill her, you know.
You know, I've met Ashley Eckstein, I like her as a person, and I like this character. And I'm like, she can stay around as long as they want to keep her around.
Yeah, she's fantastic in the role. And then, but when she's you know, she's on the foyer, however you say it, of the temple, because she doesn't feel like she's worthy.
She's hesitant to go inside.
And so she's there and she's meditating, and Anakin's whatever reaches out to her.
Yeah.
And it's like, why did you leave me? Do you know what I've become? And then you hear the.
Yeah. And the cracking and the.
And, you know, and the just the tear that runs down her cheek. And then in true Anakin Padawan fashion, the first thing she does is stand up and fire up her lightsaber,
right?
You know, like she's ready to go.
Yeah.
And to me, it was great, and it shows we're probably at the peak of where that character is.
Yeah.
And now we're to her eventual death.
Yeah.
And then you enjoyed another scene with her from the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, the training thing was awesome, because it was just one of those things where, you know, Ezra walks into the room and you hear the voice before you see the image, and it's like, hey, that's Matt Lantner back as Anakin. And it was
great that they got him back.
And it was cool that, you know, they did the style of the animation is different, obviously. So they did him a little different, and it was just cool to watch him training.
Yeah.
Like him teaching. And Ezra's even like, wow, he's really even better than you said he was.
And Ezra has used that holocron before to practice. And it's why his skills have rapidly increased. And, you know, it's, you know, Anakin is, this is my variation on this formation, which makes perfect sense because he was such a good improviser in the field.
Right.
You know, I
like that, you know, even though with Clone Wars getting canceled and that the crew will go back.
They respect
and, you know,
it.
Go back
and
to
use
stuff
it.
And, you know, Disney being good enough that they are like, you know, reference it. That, you know, do references.
So much like Clone Wars, I was really lukewarm at the beginning of the series. And part of it because, you know, I had such an affinity for Clone Wars. But then they left, you know, by the end. And they had left, you know, even by the end of the first season.
Right.
But they left so many things untold.
Right.
And part of that was, you know, Disney buying Star Wars and not having a good relationship with Cartoon Network. And Cartoon Network being Cartoon Network and kind of the way they are. You know, so that kind of stunk. But, you know, they introduced this new band of characters. I'm glad they went post-Clone Wars. You know, this is kind of a Wild West time for Star Wars from a fan's perspective.
Yeah,
because there's just not a lot.
The time between the Rise of the Empire and the Adventures of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Because that's what they were, you know, what it's called. I mean, you know, that in-between time is really like when, you know, characters like Han Solo came out of that. Lando Calrissian came out of that.
But there's not a lot of...
Boba Fett came out of that.
Yeah. But there's not a lot. We haven't ever seen a lot of that particular
era. No, that's
era.
What I mean. It's like...
There's some books
because they
and things
got rid
like
of the
that,
expanded
but,
universe.
But even with the expanded universe, I mean, it wasn't like... I mean, there were books and things
well,
like that.
Well, and
but...
there were books that were before what was officially the expanded universe with Han Solo and Lando Calrissian. So it's like there was stuff there. And, you know, some of the Marvel stuff, the original Marvel stuff referenced back to that time. But it's like, you know, this is giving a, you know, a canon version.
It's a fresh take because it's a different set of characters.
Yeah, and which is it really is like, you know, cowboys and Indians and, you know, but not cowboys and Indians at the same time. It's more the Indians versus the cowboys.
Cowboys
and the Empire.
Aliens?
No, the cowboys are, oh, God. Just because Harrison Ford's in it.
Oh, yeah, he was. I forgot all about that. I was just making a joke about a bad movie.
James Bond, we're home.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, you know, I'm loving where the season is going, where the series is going. You know, like I said, it was off this week.
How many episodes left?
I think they're doing 20, so maybe four. Okay. And the finale is an hour long.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Like I said, I'm totally excited to see where this goes.
Yeah. Now that Vader's got access to a Jedi temple.
Right, which I totally forgot to mention.
It's not the Jedi temple.
But,
you know.
But it's a new Jedi temple.
Right.
Like, you know, and Lothal is all of a sudden this very important place in the galaxy, which is another just cool thing, another cool planet and things like that. So, yeah, tune in next week as it continues and we'll be.
Also, we'll be on. It will be back.
Yeah. It was just, they just took this week off. So.
What the hell?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
All right. So then moving on, Legends of Tomorrow. So we record this on Thursdays.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen the most recent one where they're trapped in Oregon in the 50s.
Yeah.
With what I'm assuming is going to be the new 52 version of Hawkman.
Okay.
So, because like the geo terrorist type thing.
Right.
But we are talking about the last one where. They found, and I know you told me to fix this, but I just like calling them space time pirates. So, you know, where the Wave Rider comes across another.
They get a distress signal.
Yeah. What's it called? The Axum or something like that.
The Atom? Is that what it was?
Yeah, maybe. But it doesn't matter. It's some other time machine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the same design as the Wave Rider.
Yeah.
And then they get a distress call after their whole adventure in Star City 2046.
Right.
Where Heat Wave's pretty pissed off at Captain Cold at this
very,
point.
Very, very pissed off. Now, I did notice something, and I don't know if you noticed this, and I put it in the notes. But so Rip Hunter's ship's computer is called Gideon.
Yeah.
All right. And then his wife's was
flashback.
Called...
The Flashback.
Right.
Yeah.
And his wife in the Flashback, her ship was called Gary.
Right.
And then the new Time Lord Master that he ran into, hers was called Gilbert.
Yeah.
So are they running the gamut on G names? Is that how this works? Because they were also different voices. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, so we have Marina Bakkenna voicing Gideon in The Flash.
Right.
And then whoever is the voice of Gideon in.
I forget the name of the actress.
But, like, so this makes me think, or makes me kind of whimsical for something you said a couple episodes ago, that. It should have just been called Wave Rider.
Right.
Like, instead of trying to just shoehorn it in with the Flash and then doing the stupid thing with the G names, you know, call like, have the ship be a personality, be an actual character and not Gideon, you know.
Well, just because Gideon was already in there, and it's like, you know, what now it's like, why is his Gideon, and then there's the Gideon that was
Barry Allen's
reverse
Gideon.
Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, that Barry created. But,
right.
You know, so yeah, like, is this an AI that creates a personality? And when are we going to see that AI turn on them and try and flush them out of airlocks? That's really what
I'm
going to
do. Wow, you really are going dark with this.
Oh, yeah. All right. So in this episode, we see Lieutenant Rip Hunter.
Yes.
In training with the woman who is eventually his wife and mother of his child, who Vandal Savage murders in the pilot episode.
Which he has made possible because he gave him the names of
the names and
his
pictures
wife and kid. Yeah.
And pictures. So he is the one who is responsible for this. You know, all in all, this was an interesting episode because you had an interesting thing with Martin Stein, like kind of harkening back to his younger days and wanting to be like an astronaut,
right.
Like space adventurer.
A Star Lord, perhaps.
I don't know how many space adventurers wear berets, but. You know. I mean, it wasn't like a military beret.
Right.
I mean, it was a French beret. Like, you know.
He stole it off one of the space time pirates.
Did he? I didn't see where he got
did.
It from.
He
so.
Did.
But his arc was really good. And then the other interesting arc was the Atom and Hawkgirl.
Yeah.
He went for a spacewalk in the Atom suit. And
yeah,
you think,
because Wave Rider
had, right, gotten, had gotten a hole, yeah. Had a breach in the hull, and, you know, so we had a real interesting thing with them, and then, you know, their eventual kiss.
Right.
And then the other couple, well, like, I guess, so, like, Captain Cold had, like, kind of a lover spat with Heatwave, his hetero life mate.
Yeah.
And then the thing with Sarah.
Yeah.
It's, I wonder where they're going with that, and...
Well, it's, you know, one of those things where she's strange, because it's like she's very flirtatious with him, but she's also like very flirtatious with Rip.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you playing at? Because your character is supposed to be a lesbian.
Well, is she lesbian by who? I mean, it doesn't matter.
At the point,
you know,
that she had died,
right,
she was a lesbian.
She
character.
Was in love with,
right,
Nissa.
She
so.
Was involved with Nissa. And it's like, now is she like, you know...
Like, because it feels more, like, especially with her and Captain Cold, it feels more than, like, a brother-sister thing.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, I love watching those two actors together.
Yeah, they're really,
like,
good together.
I don't know. What was Katie Lotz in before? I've never even looked her up on IMDb.
I don't think, like, she's been in a lot. She was, like, a singer, performer.
Okay.
She toured for a while with a girl group.
Okay. Because she's done really, really well, both on Arrow and on this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, to the point where they brought her character back.
I watched called The Machine. Where she plays a robot.
Okay.
And it was actually, she was really good in that too. Now that was on, I think it's still on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I forget who else was in that, but yeah, she was really good on that.
Okay. Interesting.
And I don't remember if she did any soap work or anything beforehand. No. A lot of these actors do some soap work beforehand.
Let's see. The Machine, a movie called The Pact.
Yeah, that one I
haven't seen. She was on Mad Men for a few episodes.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, she was on there off and on playing somebody involved with, John Hamm's past of that character that he played.
She was on a TV show called Death Valley?
No idea.
Maybe a Canadian show?
Maybe.
And she was in Bring It On, All or Nothing.
Ooh.
So, anyway, she's been great on the show, and you know, and was great on Arrow, and so I really hope your theory for her comes true.
That would be an interesting thing for them, a twist for
because
them to do, because
she's the hero, or perceived hero,
yeah,
and not the one who you would expect that to happen to.
Yeah.
But okay, so then keeping with Captain Cold, he had his issue with Heatwave.
And then, well, the whole thing is Heatwave goes over to the ship with Rip and...
right.
Jax. Is that his name?
Jax? Yeah. Jackson, but yeah, Jax.
Yeah, and pretty much betrays them to the pirates. Which it was cool to see Callum Rennie.
Yeah, so know, from so, everything.
And he actually was playing a character that was part of the DC Universe.
Yeah.
So he was playing a character who actually was a real pirate in the DC Universe.
So it was very cool. They were very like Starjammer-esque from like X-Men.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it was
just an interesting episode. I mean, you know, the whole thing with Heatwave betraying him, and then, you know, Cold has to pretty much
Old Yeller him.
Yeah, it definitely felt like that whole thing where you have to put this guy down because he's causing more
danger. So do you
think
he killed him?
Yes.
Okay. I do not.
Okay.
I think what he did is he used the cold gun and froze him.
Right.
And because they're time traveling, they're going to come back. Because he's, when they're like, well, why can't we just drop him back off in 2016? And he looks at, I think it was, he was talking to Sarah.
Oh, well, it was the group, really.
Yeah, and he goes, my sister's there.
Yeah.
And your sister's there, you know.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, he was talking to Stein. My sister's there, and your wife is there.
And
do you really want...
Because he said it to her, too. Like, your sister's
your
there,
sister.
Too. Sorry. And your wife's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
and it's
like
do you really
that,
want him running
so
around?
To drop this bomb in the middle of all that.
Without me there to keep him in check.
Right.
So,
what was always the thing that, you know, has been every time they showed up, he's the like pulling the collar of Heatwave. And I mean, Heatwave was the guy who protected him. And then we find that out that he was, you know, the guy who protected him when they were in juvie and that. And it's like, but Heatwave, there's something not wired right in his head.
No.
So, if he froze him, where were they?
So, like maybe like
don't
kind
put
of
a date
it,
or anything
yeah.
Down
so
the bottom.
My thought, and you know, I can be wrong, and again, we haven't seen the most current episode, which I'm sure it'll happen right away. I think they went further back than 2016.
Okay.
And he froze him there where he couldn't do any damage to anyone's family.
Right.
Because, I mean, again, Mick Rory's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He's not going to know how to track down a young Martin Stein.
Right.
You know, even like Snart's grandparents or things like that.
Right.
So they leave him there where they can then go back and get him maybe a little later. So he's older and less volatile.
Right.
Now, for me, as someone who gets a headache from time travel talk, you know, like that's the logical thing. But again, this is a show that has shown time and time again, they're not interested in doing the logical thing.
Right.
They're a very emotional group. So I don't know. He very well could have killed him.
Yeah.
So, we saw Connor Hawk in the 2046,
right.
Which is now a defunct timeline.
Right.
And that actor has said he wanted to come back, and you know the writers have said they want him back. So would they maybe replace him?
My whole thing is I think that the show is planned out well enough that this is just what you're going to get as a team. And if
they
not
keep
that,
bumping
they,
them off,
my idea would be more they locked him in a cargo hold somewhere and he's frozen.
Yeah,
and that. But you know he's in perfect hibernation.
Yeah, I don't want to see Connor Hawk come in because that's just one archer too many.
Like. What they've talked about for the rest of the season, I want to see Jonah Hex because Jonah Hex has been talked about. I want to see, and I don't know his name, the guy who played Hawkman, come back as Nighthawk because in the Wild West he'll be Nighthawk, and I hope it's that same actor.
That would be cool.
You know, I hope hopefully tonight's episode, it'll be the same actor playing that version of him because I think that's not fair for that actor to be cast and then not be able to come back and play different versions of his character.
Right.
You know, nobody else this season. I don't want to see any more teammates come in.
And when this season
is
done,
Hex is a teammate that comes in, he should carry over into next season.
Yeah.
And that, you know, if he's going to be an actual teammate.
See, I think they should treat this like an anthology. And I don't know if that's what they're doing, but
they've kind of said like, you know, not everybody is going to be back next year. So it's like, you know, I've told you, I would like to see Constantine be, you know, since he's not going to. I don't think he should really have his own series at this point.
No.
But
Matt Ryan's so strong that like he can fill in and
it's the whole
pop
idea
up every
that,
few episodes.
You know, there are time travel villains that use magic. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, there's Abracadabra.
Yeah.
Abracadabra's from the future.
Right.
And uses future tech as magic in the past.
Right.
So it's one of those things where they can make him a major villain in the next season. Bring in somebody from the Flash universe as a character.
Bring in Booster.
Yeah.
You know, like, because they showed the Legion ring. We've seen a couple Legion rings at this point. We saw a Legion ring on Supergirl.
Right.
In the Fortress of Solitude. You know?
I haven't seen that episode.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I spoiled something for you. But so if they're going to, like, if they're going to combine all of this, like, let's see, like, Booster steal. Let's, you know, next season of Legends of Tomorrow. Starts with Booster stealing the Legion ring and the costume.
Yeah.
And like jumping through a time bubble.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that could work.
And then Rip could show up and you know, kind of like pass the torch. Because I don't think I could deal with watching Rip be the main character.
No, Rip will be the main character.
So, you think?
I think
or
Rip
no?
will be the main character because that's the whole time. That's where the time travel comes in. There's no other way to do the time travel without Wave Rider.
But like, so Kronos is a cool character.
Yeah.
And he's a character who's like been a different kind of time traveler. He's always
he's
been sort of a bad guy.
Yeah. He's
But in this, he's Boba Fett. Yeah. The way they did Kronos in the Justice League Unlimited series is probably one of my favorite versions of him because he was just this squirrely science guy who accidentally figured out how to do time travel. And then use those powers to try and impress his wife and his mother-in-law, who both hated him.
Right.
You know? And then he gets to the point where he's in Neo-Gotham and, you know, they're the whole Justice League Unlimited there and Batman Beyond and that.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, could they use a Batman character?
Do you think they could do Terry McGinnis?
Terry McGinnis, Nightwing. I mean, you know, they keep talking about Nightwing coming on.
Yeah.
Could it be that they bring Nightwing on as part of a Legends of Tomorrow team? Because Rip's already mentioned watching Dark Knight's Fall.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, it makes sense. I think this would be a good one for Tim Drake.
That's where I'd rather see like a Nightwing type show up as in a story like that.
I mean, you could do Tim Drake as Red Robin.
Yeah.
And you know, so like last week we talked about Finn Jones, right?
Right.
I was listening to the Trade Paper Hacks podcast this week. And, you know, they were talking about it as well. And, you know, just talking about like different characters that could be moved to be like Asian or something like that.
Okay.
And they brought up Tim Drake, and I was like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Like they could cast and like diversify their line.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's one of those ones where he's super smart. So, you know, be a little stereotypical, make him Asian.
I don't have a problem, like I've said before, with that. And, you know, it's just one of those things where with Legends of Tomorrow, I do think you need a rotating cast.
Yeah.
The Hawk Girl story cannot go on forever. The Vandal Savage story can't go on forever. You know, that has to
it's gotta end
at some point. And it's like, I would rather it be, you know, going back to what they're doing on the other two shows, Villain of the Year.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, you've got Abracadabra, you've got other, you know, villains and heroes that time travel that you can use.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a whole history there. There's, you know.
I mean, like the Legion, you could do Legion, and there's plenty of time travel there. So,
yeah.
And it doesn't have to be Wave Rider. They could introduce the thing like the time bubbles and, you know, Brainiac. Like on Supergirl, they introduced Indigo.
Right.
Like, she's a Brainiac. Brainiacs can time travel, especially in the 31st century.
21st. Yeah, it's just one of those things where there's enough, like, enough story and enough meat in the DC universe.
Right.
That these guys can use it. And they do.
Yeah.
They do a well enough job of it. And I wouldn't mind seeing another villain on the team.
Yeah.
Maybe Reverse Flash next year as part of the team. Would be interesting.
I wonder if they could do that with Tom Cavanaugh and not Matt. What's it?
Yeah.
Brain fart. Anyway. That would be interesting. Like putting a speedster on the team.
Right.
But again, I think we're at the point where we're going to be oversaturated with speedsters soon.
Yeah.
With Velocity showing up and all that. And then Wally West will eventually become a speedster.
Yeah, he'll be Kid Flash eventually.
Do you think he'll be Kid Flash?
I think that's what they'll call him.
Do you think they'll call him that? No. So, you think they'll make him wear a red wig?
No.
So he could be a ginger?
No, I think they'll do
the blue.
You know, what looks cool. And I do think that's a cool graphic in the new 52 version of him with the silver and the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Because it kind of beckons back to John Fox, who was a Flash. And he had a blue and black suit, I guess you would say.
Okay.
So, you know, it's one of those things where they could go anywhere with it.
Yeah.
So Cobalt Blue could be a villain.
Yeah.
I mean, Cobalt Blue is a version of Barry Allen. So that would be a cool villain, because then you can tie it to an arc over the Flash.
And you could bring Eddie Thawne back to play Cobalt Blue.
Yeah.
Or that actor to play Cobalt Blue, because he was a Barry Allen that was raised by Thawne, if I remember correctly.
Right.
So, I'm definitely enjoying the show. And this was my favorite episode so far.
On this show, I think it should be the, like, Agent Carter, like it comes out in January.
Yeah, it should never be more than 13 episodes.
Right.
And, you know, but that being said, they need to definitely tighten up their storytelling.
Right.
Because, you know, the spending three episodes in the 70s and then a couple episodes
in Russia. Like, if it's going to be 13 episodes, doing little three-episode arcs in a timeline is okay.
But they're not pushing this. Like, I don't feel like the Vandal Savage thing is as urgent as it should be.
Right.
That's my point.
Right. And that's kind of where I see them just going into a second year and it still being the Vandal Savage story.
Which I agree with you that it shouldn't. But
it should just be Villain of the Year. Even though I like that guy is awesome as Vandal
Savage. He's perfect.
Yeah.
So
I love his accent and, you know, he's got it down.
Well, like,
Vandal Savage is a hard character. Yeah. To write, I would say, to write and to portray. And I mean, the Young Justice version.
Well, I was going
to
say, we talked about Young Justice earlier in the episode, and, you know, it was Oded Ferrer, or however you say his last name, was the voice.
Right.
Who he typically plays Ra's al Ghul.
Right.
And he was awesome as Vandal Savage. And
the
look.
No, it was Miguel Ferrer.
Is it Miguel?
George Clooney's cousin.
Yeah.
That played Vandal. Oded Ferrer did play Ra's al
Ghul. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
my bad. Yeah. No, but the look of that character too, with the three scars across his face, was great.
You're like, where did you get that from?
Because, like, you know, he can regenerate and he's immortal.
And, I mean, it was the cool idea of bringing him, tying him to the Hawks, and the story was a cool.
Yeah, it, you know, it makes sense. Took
the Shadow Thief version from, you know, that storyline, and that. But, you know, the DC universe is enough; it's malleable enough that you can do anything with any of
you can
characters.
Combine things with little to no, you know. I mean, it's why we have a White Canary, right?
Right.
Now, you know.
Well, and then at one point, Dinah was a White Canary in the comic book.
But I'm saying it's why we have this version of White Canary, well, where it makes sense for her undead sister to be, you know,
a ghost.
A ghost. But yeah, like all, like I said, I am enjoying the show. It's the weakest of the three.
Yeah.
By far, and not just because it's the least established. I just think they're not getting the performances out of like Rip, out of Jax.
Arthur Darvill, you know? And the Jax, the thing that did bother me,
but they're not giving him anything.
Why didn't they just become Firestorm?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
like, where was that? Like,
it wasn't in the budget this
their
week.
Their go-to, but that's a problem. If they're gonna be budget conscious, you don't have a character like Firestorm.
Yeah, you don't have Firestorm on your team.
But because why? And you know, like, just knowing what I know about Oxygen and things like that.
Yeah,
just form up to Firestorm, and we haven't seen him like transmogrify anything.
Right,
you know. Change some of the oxygen in the room where the pirates are. Yeah. I don't know. Bubblegum.
That's what, as know? Soon as Martin opened up the thing, I'm like, okay, now touch him and become Firestorm.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can beat them all yourself. Yeah. You could just fly through the ship and just burn everybody.
So, you know, fly through walls. Get your vision and Martian Manhunter on.
Yeah.
So,
just, you know, that was the one thing, like, and I complained about that.
Firestorm is a plot device when they need him.
Yeah.
And then two separate actors when they don't.
Right.
You know, and to me, that takes away from the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Wentworth Miller is great. He's the standout on this show.
Yeah. I mean, him and Victor Garber probably have been the best of the two, or best of the group.
You know, like, Brandon Routh is fine. I honestly would have preferred to see him stay with the Arrow crew because of the chemistry he had
with that group,
with that particular group.
Yeah.
You know, they don't seem to have like a Cisco type character, which I feel like this group would have needed more than anything.
Yeah, like somebody who could have been like, you know, the techie and
Not Cisco, because
the thing is, they're trying to make Jax that character,
but he doesn't.
Like,
have
I'm a mechanic, and I'm, you know, I'm from this era, but I'll fix your time ship.
Yeah, well, an engine's an engine. That's what he said, and it's like, No.
Some of the components would be the same,
but again, like, he's one who, like, he was starting to have a good rapport with the Flash cast, and just doesn't have it with these people,
right?
And you know, the calling Martin Stein gray all the time, it's like, come on,
yeah,
you know, like, we know he's old, the guy Rory, what, Rip Hunter,
Arthur Darvill,
he's by far the weakest actor on the show.
Shave the damn beard off,
yeah.
Just because, you know, it's a time travel show and this guy was on another time travel show.
Yeah.
You didn't have to make him grow a beard to make him, like, look different. Even shave it to a goatee. And it would make him look, you know, cooler.
Handlebar mustache like Lobo.
Well, you know, something.
But,
there's just something off about him. And it's not that, you know, I think it's that they just don't get that character. They should have left the whole idea of getting revenge because he killed my wife and kid. Well, now it's your damn fault because he had your information.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, wait, I did it.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just go back and tell myself not to travel back in time.
There you go.
I mean, you know.
Again, why I get a headache with time travel
and why I understand it. But like, it's, whole thing where
I look at it logically and, like, you know, if I go back in time and I change this and it's in my timeline that I've changed this, then I just screwed over all of my descendants, my family, you know.
And the whole thing is, you know, any time travel story is going to have it. There are constants that you can't change.
Right.
And the whole idea that Vandal Savage at one point becomes ruler of the Earth, kills Rip's family, is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You can't stop it.
It seems like that's a constant.
And the thing is the legends are helping it to happen.
Yeah.
But my thing is the season could end with them in that future, right before he kills Rip's family, all of them showing up and just beating him.
Yeah.
Like literally like the fight happening there on that courtyard with him and his army and the Legends of Tomorrow.
And Shira, that's where they become legends.
They become legends because they saved the Earth.
And they're legends in the future. Right. Like, you know, and then they have to come back in time and, you know, like,
well, and the thing is, it's kind of like, I could see the ending of this season being The Hobbit, or not The Hobbit, but The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
They saved, they went home.
Yeah.
That's it. You went home, you did your duty, you went home. Hey, do you want to come with me? Like Rip could be like, do you want to come with me? And some of them would be like, yes. And then others like, I could see Ray staying back in the past.
Yeah.
Martin would stay in the past. His wife's there. You know, Jax wants to be there.
Yeah.
And that, but well,
his mom's there. And
people like White Canary.
Yeah.
It would be one of those ones where she's going to go, yeah, I'll go with you.
Yeah.
I don't have any place here. She literally is the one that has no place in that time.
Yeah.
And I could
see. And not just in that time, in any of the other two shows, right. Really. I mean, so.
I could even see Captain Cold being one that would stay.
Yeah.
Unless he does have Heat Wave on ice somewhere and decides that he's, you know, I'm tired of being the good guy. I'm going to go back to being the bad guy. You know, the way he, I like the way he talks. His voice flows.
So, you know, like Wentworth, he's been in other
things. I never watched Prison Break. So I don't know if like he talked like that on
that wasn't like, so in Prison Break, he had like, you know, it's, he has that like, I don't know. It's not, it's a deep voice, but it's not like a baritone voice, but, like he had this very deliberate manner of speaking,
right.
And it was
and
very
on this, it's like he's
subtle.
He's so laid back,
yeah,
and he just don't give a damn. And it's like he just talks like this, and it's like I'm going to do this, and I don't give a damn what you. It's really smooth.
He's like so. It's all like so. We're going to go kill him.
Well, it's, and it's not
you
even
know,
that
and
slow.
Like
it's
but
just,
like you know,
it's like casually coming in a room and going. Well, I'm going to have to kill my best friend right now. And it's like, you know, it's really like that. And I'm like, you know what? I like that. I like that he's like that because it's like that gives me an idea of what Captain Cold sounds like.
Do you remember Raising Arizona?
Oh, yeah.
I always expect him to walk in a room and be like, I'll take all the money in the cash register.
Yeah.
And these huggies.
That's literally
like,
what it is.
That's
it's
what
like,
I expect
like,
from him.
It's
so.
It's literally that casual, like, coming in with the cold gun and just be like, everybody get down on the floor.
Freeze.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not afraid of the
puns. He's
got
that Lando Calrissian talk down.
He does,
And, hello, what do we have here?
Ladies.
A bag of money? It's mine.
But, all right.
Yeah,
so.
I don't want if they, when they come back, because you know they'll come back for a second season.
Yeah.
Supergirl's already been announced second
season.
Oh,
did they now? So, okay, so Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got announced.
Yeah. Agent Carter got announced.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
For a third season?
I'm pretty sure they got announced for a third season.
I didn't see that.
It's been, I think
but
it's
again,
last week.
I've been on the road for the last 2 days, and like, I'm too cheap to buy Wi-Fi at the airport, so.
I think it was last week that I seen that, maybe. Or maybe it was just hopeful thinking.
Season 3 cancellation looms. Spoilers, season 3 to be renewed. So I don't know. It's a rumor right now as of 3 days ago from Blaster.
Okay.
And here, Haley Atwell confirms Agent Carter season 3 return from March 1st. So I don't know. I mean, it looks like it's all rumor at this point.
Week. That's when I seen
but, you know, let me go to my trusty TVLine.com. But, so, I mean, The Flash and everything has been picked up. I think this has been picked up.
More than likely.
Yeah, so what's it? It's ABC, is that?
Yeah, it's Agent Carter.
But, no, I really want to see other just
other
shows.
People.
Yeah, other. Yeah, it's not official yet. It still says it's a long shot on the TV Line renewal scorecard.
I don't trust any of those things.
Well, I mean, I do. They're run by like Deadline and
everything.
Yeah, so
but, you know, it's one of those things where
they actually break a lot of the things. Like they broke. I think they are the ones who broke Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like they were the first ones to know. I mean that's a legit site. It's an actual news site.
Right.
So, I mean it's TV news. So I mean how legit can it be? But anyway, Yeah. All right. So, you know, looking forward for the rest of the season. Yeah. So they've got what, 6 more episodes to go?
I think that's right. Yeah.
They have a lot of story they need to get to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, well, I don't.
It's one of those things where now Rip's going to go into the past to stop Vandal instead of trying to confront him now that he knows who they are.
Right.
He's going back further. So tonight we're going to see a different Vandal Savage than we've seen.
Right.
And I'm sure at some point we're going to see Vandal Savage in the Wild West.
Yeah.
With Jonah Hex and Nighthawk, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
You think we'll see Batlash
back there? That would be kind of cool, too. Yeah.
That would be
yeah.
neat. And he could be a Wayne.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's not typically a Wayne, but that would be a cool, like, just a little tie-in. Well,
even Bruce Wayne showing up as a character, you know.
And again, like, the storyline was called The Once and Future King from the Justice League Unlimited cartoon, yeah. right? They should just steal that. Like, as much of that as they can with their group.
Yeah.
And have Kronos come back and break the timeline. And, like, they all have to work with Jonah Hex to fix it. Right. So, but, yeah. If they could. Like, so my wish list for a season 2.
Okay.
All right. It's if I can't have just a Booster Gold and Blue Beetle story.
Yeah. Because
I think that would be great. I would like to see a team that is John Constantine.
Okay.
Katie Lotz.
Yeah.
You know, and she doesn't have to necessarily stay White Canary.
Right.
I'd like to see, and I know it's TV and we're just talking about Firestorm, but like throw Green Lantern in there.
Okay.
Maybe Guy Gardner.
Right.
And then, or, you know, even do Kyle.
Yeah.
You know, and again, because talking about diversity in these things, you know, Kyle's half Latino, you know, pick a Latino actor to play him. Like, you know, there's a lot of good ones out there for that.
Right.
You know, but so. Those three.
Yeah.
And then if you have to keep Rip Hunter, keep him. And then maybe get someone from the Legion of Superheroes. I think Lightning Lad. I think Lightning Lad would be a great addition. Or you could go with like Timberwolf.
Right.
Because you could do someone just in like costume. Or even like Cosmic Boy.
Right.
Or if you wanted to add another girl, you do Saturn Girl. And then you have the telepathy thing, which is... Like, as prolific as that is in the Marvel universe,
right. It
is solely underutilized in
the DC.
I mean, it's Martian Manhunter, Ms. Martian, since Geoff Johns and Tony Daniel created her in, like, what, the early 2000s?
Right.
And then Simon. I mean, really, who else?
Queen Bee.
Well, and she's not even, like, so much telepathy as just mind control.
Right.
And pheromones.
Right.
So...
Yeah, that would be, I mean, an interesting one. But, like I said, Jonah Hex would be cool.
Yeah, use Jonah. And it's Jonathan Shrekey, or I don't know.
Shake,
whatever.
Something like that, yeah. That Thing You Do.
Yeah, That Thing You Do. Yeah. I love that movie.
So mine would be Constantine.
Yeah.
If you had to use a villain, I would like to see Manu Bennett come on as Deathstroke.
Yeah, but he's on that Shannara Chronicles, which does really well. Yeah, so. You know,
they haven't announced that that's getting picked up for the second season yet, though.
Have you watched that? I haven't watched it yet.
It's in my DVR. I haven't watched it yet. I would like to see him come back, maybe.
Yeah.
Katie Lotz should stay on the show. Yeah.
This should be her show. She should be eventually be the main
cast. Like I said, main cast members would be Rip Hunter, Katie Lotz, and Captain Cold, I think.
Okay.
I think those three actors should stick around.
I wonder how that'll work with like the Prison Break like renewal.
And that's where, you run into that kind of stuff, too. So, I mean, you run into the idea of financially the effects for these characters. Yeah. Like, Lightning Lab would be a good character because lightning is an easy effect to do. The villain, like I said, Abracadabra.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just do a different villain.
Yeah, it's a shame they wasted Kronos as the Boba Fett of this one because he would have been a great villain.
They rewrite some of history, I mean, Kronos could be a different character, a hero or a villain.
Yeah.
And that, and it's the whole thing where, you know, did you read the Booster Gold series that Dan Jurgens wrote back before Flashpoint? Where Booster's dad was Rip Hunter?
Right.
Yeah. You know, no spoiler there because it came out years ago.
That was great because they were leaving notes to each other around the thing as time was changing for Flashpoint.
Yeah.
That was.
But
that
the whole
was
thing
really
that
cool.
Rip Hunter and Booster Gold were the same age, but Rip knew who he was, but Booster didn't know who he was kind of that thing where I would like to see that.
Yeah.
I would like to see that interaction. So that, yeah, bringing Booster on and it being the kid that, you know,
yeah,
hopefully will be alive at the end of this thing, and having it where he decides, you know, I have to hide him in the timeline.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe the kid is Booster Gold. That's
interesting. That's what I'm saying. Like, he could be Michael like Carter that. And you know, be dropped off.
Maybe Michael.
And,
well, because Rip Hunter is an alias.
Right.
So, yeah, that would be really cool. All right. So, I think we're at a good stopping point. Real quick, Game of Thrones, 44 days away. If you have the HBO Now app, they're doing a, like, 50 days to countdown.
Oh, really?
So, if you're on episode 6, if you watch one a day, you'll be caught up when the new one comes out. Pointing to Johnny.
Dear Lord.
So
what is it, 10 episodes?
Yeah.
I could watch them in a week.
Yeah, I know. And especially this last season, you'll probably watch them in like a couple days.
Yeah, well, we usually do. So,
but yeah, so just a reminder, we're going to definitely be talking about that when it comes back. Ideally, you'll just come watch it with me on Sundays or
you know, a day or two later or something.
I'll watch it and then we'll watch it again. So, but yeah, and then so Civil War's coming out. We'll probably do, yeah, in May. So we'll do a Civil War kind of episode about the comic and break it down. And we'll talk about where we think we're going to see differences.
Yeah.
Because there's not going to be like Nitro or the New Warriors.
Or any, like, and anything this. With a lot of the characters.
Yeah, I mean, no X-Men, no Goliath, no Ragnarok.
Right.
So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And then we have a Batman v Superman, and you know, you heard David earlier on in the episode, and you know, he had to go. We were having issues anyway, like from our end technically. So he'll come back, and he's actually going to review Batman versus Superman with us, mainly because you're the voice of reason of all this. He's looking forward to it, and I'm dreading it. But yeah, so
I
anyway,
do, you know what? I look at all these things with a positive negative attitude. Where I'm in the middle.
But you haven't even watched Fanforestick yet.
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did watch it. Oh. Yeah, I thought I told you I watched it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Oh, I did, because I was live texting you as I was watching.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. It's been a weird couple weeks. You know?
Yeah, it's one of those ones where
I wasn't even sure today was Thursday when I woke up.
I got it on sale, so you know.
Yeah, you got it on like Black Friday or whatever. Yeah. So but all right. So go to the website. Sign up for our email list, subscribe, like, share.
We're all over the internet.
It's Infamous Podcast wherever you go.
Go to the
Facebook.
About us to find our personal, you know, Instagrams, yep. Facebooks.
Yeah, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we're Infamous Pod, or just / Infamous Podcast. InfamousPodcast.com. We're theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com. Like Johnny said, go to the About Us pages. You can read about Katie, our blogger, who wrote a really great article about getting into tabletop gaming.
Yeah.
Which was
need to go read that.
It was really long, but it was really helpful. And as someone who I dabbled in D&D when I was younger.
Okay.
But like I never got into like the card gaming and like Pathfinder and things like that, which you know she's pretty into.
Yeah.
So we have to get her on.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that's
we'll figure that out.
Anyway, so this has been the Infamous Podcast this week. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, David, for joining us. We apologize for
definitely.
Being lame, but he will be back. We love having him on.
Fun to talk to.
He's
that's for sure.
He's got a great perspective.
Yeah.
So, especially because he's from here, like the Midwest.
Okay.
But he lives in LA.
All right.
And, you know, so, and he's involved with some pretty cool stuff. So, all right, guys. That being said,
have a good one.
Later.